Turn to Matthew. And we've been talking about grace. And I'm going to race this up here. You take the dispensation of grace out of the Bible, and even though there's law over here, and there's law over here, was there ever a capacity for the law to make a man righteous?
No.
Even though there's law there, there has never been a capacity ever to make one righteous. Because to do that, you would have to keep all the laws. You understand what I'm saying? Even though that it's under a time of law or a dispensation of law, they understood the law, they talked about the law. But when you get to the Apostle Paul, basically, there is no law. It's been removed at the cross. Now, the reason I'm stressing this is because the Bible is really divided in multiple sequence. You have over here, prophecy. You understand? Over here, mystery. Over here, the law. Over here, what? You see, you got Old Testament, New. You've got, the division isn't just on the commandments. It has a lot more to do than that. This deals with the nation of who?
Israel.
This deals with the Gentiles, basically. You understand that? When we say they were under a dispensation of law, it didn't mean that they could get righteous by the law either. The law was never designed, not from the very single moment it entered in. I said Matthew 19, but go to Romans chapter 5. I changed my mind. I'm going with the Spirit. Okay, that was a little humor. You guys got to lighten up today. Where is Debbie and Deborah and Tony? Uh-huh, a little honeymoon getaway, I think. All right, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the person would become perfected. The law entered that you might become righteous by the law.
No.
The law entered that the offense might abound. So back here, when God brought the law into Moses, back here, when God brought that law in, why did he enter the law?
To show them the errors.
It was never, ever, ever, ever designed to make a man righteous. It was never designed that. You know how many churches try to teach us as if it's your righteousness? 99%. But if they read their Bible, the law entered with Moses to show the offense abounding. It shows you what you are. The law is the mirror of your soul. It shows you what you are. It doesn't say, it's not like mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? You know what the mirror would say to you? Not you, sinner! It would shout back at you. You're ugly! You know why? Because ain't none good. How do we know that? Well, we did it for 2,500 years without the law. How many were good? We added the law. How many were good? We added grace. How many are good?
None.
And so, you know, when you read that, the law entered. You know when the law entered, right? Exodus chapter 20, right? That the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, everybody, grace did much more abound. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Thank God Look at a couple places here. Look in Romans chapter 6. Not 6, I'm sorry. Yeah, let me get my wits about me here. Romans 7. Romans 7, I want to start in verse 9, I guess. I'm kind of cutting it in the context. For I was alive without the law once, but when sin, when the commandments came, what happened? Sin revived and I died. When you get under that law, guess what happens? It's going to show you what you are. And the commandments, which was ordained to life. Now, what does he mean, ordained to life? I found to be unto death. What does he mean? Well, go to Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. Now, if you can't find Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book of the Bible. You can just kind of flip through until you get there. By the way, hey, did the Millers notice that I lowered the number so that you can see it? Show the number again. Switch over to the number, Lisa, for a little bit. So you can text us anytime during the message. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. Now watch. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it, doing all these statutes, shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. Now, the Lord didn't say that. What did they say? It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these things. God said, okay, it could be. You'll keep them all, you can be righteous. Now, can you imagine putting that yoke on your own neck? God never put it on their neck. You know what Israel said? Hey, it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all these things. They put it on their neck. And you know what religion is doing today? Same thing. It's putting it on their neck, and they're trying to walk as Jews under the law. But the Jews have already proved something to us. They had how many years? Under the what? 15 from Moses to Christ was 1,500 years. How many made it?
None.
That's not true. One made it. Jesus Christ made it. He was the sinless Son of Almighty God. He lived in human form and kept the law perfectly. That's true. And it was his righteousness. And he had the right to go to heaven without dying. For the wages of sin is, he didn't have to die. He could have left the planet Earth and let all you sinners just die. You all understand what I'm saying? He fulfilled the law. People say nobody kept the law. That's not true. I know one did and had the right to leave into eternal life. Why? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Yes.
So you're saying we will be under the law again? Later on?
No, yeah. We'll never be under the law.
No.
We're under grace.
Right. I'm seeing up there.
Oh, Israel will go back under the law.
Right.
And that's what we're going to get to. I mean, that's what I want you to see, that they're under the law. But listen, was the law given that they would become righteous?
No.
No. Are they under the law?
Yes.
Were they told to keep the commandments?
Yes.
Matthew 19, where I was going to start, One came to him and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said, "Why calleth me thou good? There is none good but one. But if thou wilt enter into life..."
Keep the commandments.
Try it again.
Keep the commandments.
Keep the commandments. Well, you wouldn't tell somebody in the age of grace to do that. I mean, if it's grace, then it can be no more of works. You all understand? Romans 11. So you can't combine the two. Otherwise, you start to confuse people. Are you supposed to keep the commandments?
No.
They say after you get saved, you're supposed to keep them. That's not true. It was never designed for the people under grace. Deuteronomy 60 says, "It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us." Now, He never commanded them to keep them. They said, "Well, it'll be our righteousness." And so God had a little word with Paul. Go to Romans. Yes.
One more question.
You have as many questions as you like.
Is the law...
It just, you know, they're 1995 each. You can have as many as you like. Yes. Is this your third one, I think? Okay, go ahead.
The answers are free.
The questions cost them.
Is the commandments the law, or does the law go beyond the commandments?
In most contexts, the commandments are the law. But yes, they go beyond the Ten Commandments.
Right.
There were 620. You couldn't wear wool and cotton together. You couldn't put
right.
old wine in old bottles.
Right.
You know,
so there was more to the law than just the commandments.
620, I think. Right. You know, I've never counted them all. You know, you take some of this information you read and you just kind of apply it. Mm-hmm. But there's people say 619 to 620 laws that were outside. But really, all he's talking about is the Ten Commandments. You know, in these contexts.
In general.
Yes, yeah. It would be the Ten.
Okay.
You know, when you get this whole thing, go to Romans chapter 2 for a minute. And let me show you, because, you know, Israel always was talking a big game. You know, we got the commandments.
Right.
We're like hip. We're hot. Right. But they never got it.
No.
And in Romans, Paul's, God has given Paul some information to take to Jews. This is what he said. Verse 1. Romans 2, verse 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing." You're judging about someone breaking the commandment, you're breaking it. And say, well, what... How do you know? Now watch, come on down. Verse 12. "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many as sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." What's the end of the both of them? Condemnation, isn't it? Then this is to the Jews. Listen. "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." You can't go, "Well, I've listened to the law all my life, therefore I'm righteous." You can't do it. It would only be, remember, and you may want to put Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, right there in your Bible. Don't you think that would be a good place to put it? I thought there'd be some Bible pens out without me. Where's your Bible pen, brother? Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. You want to get that Bible pen out. Why? Because you've got to understand, they're the ones that are saying, if we observe to do all these commandments, and God's saying, well, look, it's not a matter that you've listened to it all your life. That's not what would make a man righteous. You said to do what? If we observe to do all these commandments. He said it is not the hearers of the law that are justified before, but the doers. Well, guess what Israel was? They were just a hearer.
Right. What verse did you say put by?
Deuteronomy 6.
Are you going to 14 next?
Well, we can. Why, do you want to go to 14 next?
Well, I mean, you know, just for delineation.
All right, we'll do that. Would you, why don't you come up and help me preach? I mean, This stuff isn't hard, but it's good. Amen?
Amen.
It ain't hard, but it's good. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing them witness. And what would it show, by the way? Guilt. What is the law? The ministration of condemnation, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 7 and 9. I would definitely write that in my Bible right there. If I was a Bible student, that's what I would do. Now watch this.
What was that?
Are you asking another question? I'm almost to make dinner today.
No, I'm asking you to repeat yourself.
Oh, okay, I got it. Yes, that's free. Repeating is free.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 3, 7 and 9. One's called the ministration of condemnation. The other one's called the ministration of death. Now watch this. Verse 20. I love it. Oh, well, let me just start in 17, if you don't mind. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, and knoweth his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of foolish, a teacher of babes, which have a form of knowledge and of truth, where?
In the law.
Thou therefore which teachest another, teach not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal. Dost thou steal? See, listen, it would be very difficult for me to teach you the law as if I was keeping it.
Right.
There's a guy who's a Christian song. In fact, if I can figure out how to get it on the song, I would like for... there's two songs this guy... Well, actually, about five on this album that I really like. And they're so biblically true, they're very honest. One is called a hypocrite song. And it goes, you know, I'm glad there's a heaven filled with hypocrites like me. You know? I thought, boy, that's a pretty powerful song. And the second song is, I have stolen, I have cheated, I have lied. You know? And he says at the end that I'm justified. Not because of what he did, but because of Christ.
Amen.
And boy, this song is just so powerful because, you know, I'm a cheater and a liar. Well, what am I going to teach? How am I going to teach Jeff how to keep the law if I myself can't keep it?
That's right.
You all understand? Now, Jesus could keep the law. Right. Therefore, he could teach the law.
Right.
But you know what? He knew that there was no way for them to get it. And you know, from the very beginning, from the very start, back there, you know, before the world ever was formed, guess what he did? He knew that it was going to take the shedding of blood to cover that sin. He knew it. Everything in the typology of the Old Testament was to show that moment coming. That's all it was.
Wouldn't the fact that he told them to keep the commandment, knowing that when they break it, that they were going to...
offer a sacrifice. Absolutely. I mean, that you understand, if you'd have hung around Terry, and Terry was a circumcised Jew, born a Jew. See old Terry taking his best bullet?
Right.
Wonder what Terry's been doing. Well, it wouldn't have been 2 days later, you would have been carrying one too. You know what I mean? You're talking about confessing in front of the church. How about Job offering a sacrifice for every one of his kids every morning and himself? What did they get into? Don't know, but I know human nature. We better cover it. I was like Wayne when he first started talking to me. He said, listen, man, I go to bed and I'm thinking, I've got to confess these sins up. And then he would go like, man, what happened if I missed one? Remember when you said, I'm like, that would be like, yes! You all understand? How can you confess up all the sins in you? There goes another bullock, you know?
Right.
Oh, look at Larry. He's taking Harley and offering it up on the sacrifice. You know it would be bad.
Oh, he did some bad ones, didn't he?
Y'all understand? Because they would see this offered every day. They weren't keeping the commandments. And they should have recognized that they were. Look what he said. Verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, and do thy commit sacrilege? Thou that make the boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonoreth thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. You know what they see in you, Israel? They see a bunch of hypocrisy. And you know what we see in the religious system? The same thing. That's why there's going to be a heaven full of hypocrites just like me. Y'all understand? I've stolen, I have lied. See, when Jesus Christ was telling them to keep the commandments, it wasn't that he was trying to make them righteous by the commandments. That never made them righteous. He was planning to shed the blood for Israel and all that. Let me ask you a question. Ananias in Acts chapter 5. There it is right there. Why did Ananias and his wife Sapphira go to hell? Well, hadn't everybody lied? It was unbelief. It is always based upon belief and unbelief. All the way through the Bible. David, if it was up to the law, what would have happened to David? Would he have been in eternity? In hell? There wasn't any. But he believed God was going to be merciful to him. Yes, Carl?
Yeah, I can think on that one point about what he did for Israel. Did he come to establish the kingdom on earth, or did he come to save Israel through his death?
Both of them are simultaneously happening. Remember, what did John the Baptist say when Jesus showed up? Behold! The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin. Well, he was planning to do that. But just like in the sacrifice, they had the Passover lamb was offered. And it wasn't received until the day of what? Atonement. So they didn't think they were atoned immediately. There was a period of time. Same thing was truth. The Passover lamb got sacrificed here. And at the second coming, guess what's going to be open? The fountain. But what was Jesus doing here on earth? Confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Romans 15, verse 4 through 8. So Jesus Christ, while he's here on earth, is establishing. He's not trying to get rid of the law. He came to fulfill the law. You understand? And did he fulfill it? Down to every dot and tittle. He was the only human being on the planet Earth that ever kept it and was really, the capacity of Jesus Christ is he did not have to die. You say, why did he die? Because he chose to take my sin upon him. He made a choice. He became sin. He did. Y'all understand? But Israel is under the law. Go to Matthew 19. He tells these people, he's not thinking they're going to get righteous by this law. He's not trying to make Israel righteous by the law. By the law, is there any flesh been justified?
No.
No. Galatians chapter 2. There has never been anybody. Was David justified by the law? What would David have been? It's the ministration of death. It would have killed him. I mean, there was no sacrifice. You could go to the temple and say, Father, I'm coming to the priest here. Father, I've sinned. Well, what have you done, son? Well, Uriah was out of town. And Bathsheba was looking pretty fabulous. And I got to tell you, I dogged her. But worse than that is I brought her husband back in, thought he'd found out she was pregnant. He's out on the battlefield. How could she get pregnant except by me? So I bring him back. He won't go in because his soldiers are out there fighting and refuses to go on because he's an honorable man. Right. So worse than that, Father, I sent him off to the front line so he would definitely die. And I'm going to look like the good guy rescuing this poor damsel in distress. There ain't no sacrifice for that kind of stuff. And when Nathan came up to David and said, Thou art the man, David knew what the pressure of the law was all about right then. Right then. He understood the man that God loved, the man that was after God's own heart. There he's crushed by the weight of the law, and had it not been for the grace of God lifting that weight off, there'd been no hope. He wasn't going to be made right. How was he made righteous?
By grace.
By belief. Always by what? Belief. Always.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why did they not stone David?
Because God had mercy on him.
It was a sign.
He was set up as an example that, and that's another good point. Why didn't God spare David? Come on. Shall be saved. Absolutely, it was a belief issue. Now listen, the law never could save him. And was David condemned?
Yes.
Wasn't everybody else?
Well, what I'm really saying is, I know God saw that, but
nobody else knew it. Okay. Nathan was just a conduit to let him know that God was. Guys, listen to me. If you want, you know, there's so many great things in the Word of God. I thought Jan brought out Psalms 22 was what Jesus Christ was thinking while he was up on the cross. That was his mind. Psalms 51 is what David thought when Nathan came up and said, Thou art the man. You know what Nathan said? I mean, what David said? Against thee and thee only have I done. I mean, you read it. It's a humbling. Psalms 51 is a humbling thing. So what am I telling you? It was never about the law to make any man righteous. God entered the law that sin might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more. But he was trying to show his kindness. They weren't getting it. So I'll enter the law, show them that they're sinners, and then when I'm kind to people like David, they'll get it. But they didn't get it. And today, churches are talking about your sin and about confessing your sins and getting clean before God with your sin. Your sins have been dealt with, boys and girls. Your sins have been completely paid for at the cross of Calvary. There isn't a sin issue in your life. There's a belief issue in your life. Oh, I started preaching. Matthew 19. He said in verse 16, And one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto them, Why callest me thou good? There is none good but one. But if thou wilt enter life, everybody, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 20, the young man said, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? If thou wilt go be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. He told him three things to do. What did he tell him? Keep the commandments.
Sell
Sell out all that you have and come and follow me. Now, I want you to go to Mark 16 for just a minute. And this really doesn't have to do with this, but I'm going to try to pull in a confidence of what is required for salvation. In Mark 16, I want to read in verse 15. Very important. Guys, listen. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were people justified by the law? How do we know that? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Right? Y'all with me? It was never going to justify them. But what it did was show their heart in their belief. That if you believe something, you would try to do it, right? Illustration is this. Watch this. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now watch. He that what? Believe. You need to underline that. Believeth. That's the key. And is baptized shall be saved. Well, how would you know if someone didn't believe? They say, well, I don't believe in that. You understand? And the Sadducees were an example of that, of Matthew chapter 3. They came and John said, who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? But they didn't get in the water, so how do we know? They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. You all understand? In Mark 16, water baptism was required, amen? But what was it really an example of? One thing, that you believed in. Absolutely.
What did they need John's for?
Well, because...
I understand what I'm saying in their mind.
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, do you all understand that Jesus Christ isn't trying to justify anybody by the law, but he's putting some things in for your belief level? Right. You had to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believed that, would you be baptized? Yes, if he told you, yes, you would have. Right. It was a belief issue. Right. Now, watch this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, so what was causing them to be damned? And how would we know that they were in unbelief? Now, you understand that if Jesus told them to keep the commandments and sell out, if they didn't sell out, they didn't really believe it. They were non-believers. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It would prove that they don't believe it. Right. Now, they have the Old Testament stories, right? Right. They knew about Elijah and the brook and the raven, right? They knew those stories. Right. Y'all are looking at me like you don't believe those stories. No. Those stories were there for Israel to know that, listen, if they sold out, God would take care of them. Right. They had to believe. Guess what Ananias and Sapphira did? Go back to Acts chapter 5. Let me show you. Remember that he told the man to keep the commandments and sell out, right? Go to Acts chapter 5 for a minute. And all I want you to see, it was the act of unbelief. It wasn't that they did anything. I want to ask you a simple question. It wasn't that they lied. How many, let God be true and every man a liar, Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Amen? Right. It wasn't that they lied. If they went to hell for lying, then we'd all go to hell for lying. Yes?
When God says, are you asking another question? That's it. When God says a rich man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, is he basically saying you can't take anything with you?
No. This has to do with this issue just a little bit. But for a rich man to get in, what does he have to do? Because the requirement is sell out. What does that really prove? It proves belief. You understand? If you don't sell out, you don't really believe. So, without...
So back then, there were no saved rich men?
That's well, they could sell out. They had to sell out. And did Ananias sell out?
Yes.
Yes, they did. Go to Acts chapter 4. I wanted 5, but I want to get the context just a little bit. Are y'all learning anything this morning? All right. I'm going to start in verse 32. Acts 4, verse 32. And the multitudes of them that were, notice the word believed again. You got that? You might want to underline that. And the multitudes of them believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own. But they all had had all things common, and with great power and great gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now watch, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors. Why did they do that? Why did they sell out? He told them to in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, and you need to write that in your Bible right there. Don't mess up. He also said it in Matthew 6, verse 19. You're going to miss it, Carlton. You're going too slow. Come on. Don't lose these. These are going to be great for you. You're going to want these. I will. Repeats are free. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Verse 34. As many as were possessors of lands and houses did what? Sold them. Here are the verses. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Matthew 6, verse 19. And Luke chapter 12, verse 33. And Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 19, where we just read, verse 16 through 21. Matthew 6, verse 19. And Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Now, he told them to sell out, right? So belief would do what? Would cause them to do it. They believe God. If God said it, if God said, raise your right hand for salvation, what would you do right now?
Raise my right hand.
You know what God's asking you to do for salvation?
Relax.
Relax. He's paid it all. If you're struggling, then you're not saved. You see, by their works they deny Him. You understand? The Cretans are always liars, slow bellies, evil beasts. By their works they deny Him. You know, because, hey, today what is it? Not of works. So if I see you working for your salvation, guess what? I don't believe you believe. You know what I'm thinking? Lost. But here, how would you determine whether someone was lost?
What they believed.
What they did. Because you are only going to do what your heart believes. So they were told to sell out, right? All right, go to Acts chapter 5. Verse 1, but certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept that part of the price. Now, what was the problem right there? It was unbelief. Why did they... This is what Ananias and Sapphira thought. What happens if this thing doesn't work out? We need a little to get started back again. Just in case it doesn't work out. I'm just going to keep back a little bit. Well, it is covetousness, but they did it because they did not believe Him. I mean, go to Luke chapter 12. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Luke chapter 12. They only kept back a little bit, just enough to get started on. But what did that show? Unbelief. Now, when he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, guess what? We would see unbelief in people that are trying to do it. They don't really believe the grace of God. They're trying to be Joe Christian. The more they try to be Joe Christian, the more lost they look in my eyes. People say, well, why do you think I was lost? Because you're always talking about you doing something. Amen? Luke chapter 12. Now watch this. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouses or barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl? What's the belief there? That God is going to provide. I believe God is going to provide. I believe God is going to be my all-sufficiency. God is going to be. You all understand? They have a belief system. They're not believing that Christ died on their cross for their sins. What are they believing? That God is going to take care of them. So by Ananias keeping back part of it, what were they saying? I don't believe he's going to do that. I don't believe in Jesus Christ going to do that for me. But I want to hang out with these because if they are right, I want to be with them. You all understand? No way, no how. The realization here is very important. In fact, he goes on. He says, which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. And then he comes on down in verse 33, everybody. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, or treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, nor moth corrupts. Well, where your treasure is, where your belief is, there will your heart be. Hey, they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the lie that got them. It was the belief that got them. It's always been belief. Don't you understand? It's just that now we're in the dispensation of grace. We believe in God's grace. I don't believe it's anything I do. I believe it's what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. I believe He paid for all of my sins. I believe He paid for everyone, and there are some wicked sins in my life. But I believe the reason I get to go into heaven is because Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Come on. That's what I believe. I don't believe I have to sell out. But I believe somebody in this Bible had to sell out. I do believe that. Something dispensationally. Go to Romans 11. I feel like I'm just flubbering up here. Romans 11. Huh? You all understand, this is so important. I mean, this place ought to be absolutely packed. Amen? There ought to be standing room only. You know why? Because people are there confused in church. I'll never forget when Deb came and said, after I heard that sermon, I had to come. Well, Debbie, we're glad you're here, baby. But, you know, I mean, all that stuff. She said, I was under bondage. Hey, there ain't no bondage. You're one with the Creator. You're complete and righteous and justified. Yes.
Like
today. Is this a question? Because I'm adding one.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a big cat.
Like today in the churches, like what being taught here, you know, there is a separation, you know, in the word. It's like, but in the church they put it all together.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And they get confused.
Exactly. And you'd be like, well, we're saying over here do this, and over here saying, well, don't do that, but. That's confusing everybody because you're not understanding. But now that I'm here, I'm understanding.
Who's your apostle?
Paul.
What he said to you, you do and do. You know? You understand? If he tells you, what does he say? Look in Romans 11. This leads right in. He said in verse 6. Yeah. And if by grace, then it is no more of
works.
Salvation isn't about those obedience of the law and the selling out and all those works back there. If it's by grace and it is no more of works, then what does that tell you? That at one time, belief had to be accompanied with works. You understand? If you didn't do it, guess what, Ananias? They had some belief, but they didn't have enough belief to sell it all and give it all. You understand? They had some belief because they thought they should sell, right? But they didn't have 100% faith. So what did Ananias and Sapphira do? Kept back why?
Unbelief.
You know what? It's not true in the dispensation of grace.
Amen.
Today you're saved by your not doing. In fact, go to Romans chapter. Oh, I'm running out of time. You guys on the internet want to hang with us just 2 minutes or so? We won't be long. Romans chapter 4. Now watch this. Verse 1. What shall we say to Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh as found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. How was he justified? Absolutely. For what saith Scripture? Abraham what?
Believed
God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. What did he believe God about? Absolutely. He believed God. So you know what? He didn't go into Sarah and say, Sarah, I need a Viagra pill. He didn't. I'm telling you. Sarah is like, you know, my womb's crested over and I'm laughing at God too. This is what he said. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and was, what? Being fully persuaded that he had promised he was also able to perform. You know what? Ananias didn't believe that fully. They weren't fully persuaded. They weren't fully persuaded. They were partially persuaded. Like King, that's a great example. You're starting to put, King Agrippa says, you almost persuaded me to become a, almost. Well, you know, there's people today, well, I'm almost a grace believer, but I think you ought to just be baptized just in case. I'm putting my foot over here. Guess what? Ain't going. Lost. Yeah, but I believe you have to give some money. No. I believe you need to join the church just to. And in doing all those works, you're denying Him. I mean, come on, guys. That's what we're talking about. See the whole picture. Go to Titus and we'll. I can preach for another hour. This stuff's so good. You all wouldn't even stick around, would you? That's what's so bad. You know, you'd go, I had enough of that today, buddy. I think I'm going to eat. I mean, you know, there's only so much grace you can take. Brandon, now don't be putting them under a box. They'll be feeling guilty when they don't show up. Titus chapter 1. I've made reference to it, but I want you to get it in your mind where it is. Now watch. Verse 9. Holding fast the faithful words that thee have been taught, that he may be by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the what? What are they saying? Well, you need to keep the law. You got to do that. Whose mouths, Paul says, must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans were always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. All right? That turn from the truth unto the pure. All things are pure, but unto him that defile and unbelieving, underline that unbelieving, is what? Nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works, they what? They deny them because you know what? This is a time that your belief wouldn't produce works. Why? It's grace. Hang on, got a text? Keep preaching, somebody says. That's not really good to do. You might get yourself in trouble. Why Peter mentioned the lie to the Holy Spirit? That came from B.A. Russell. Because that was the evidence that they didn't believe.
Right.
B.A., does that make sense? I mean, it wasn't that they lied, because if lies took people to hell, where would we all end up?
Hell.
It was that their lie showed their unbelief. Why did they not believe it? Because they kept that part of it.
They did 99.
Anybody got an extra $20 on? They preach another 5 minutes.
If they had obeyed the Holy Ghost, then they wouldn't have a lie.
Right.
If they were showing their whole heart. Yeah.
They did 99%. They got baptized, they sowed, but they didn't do it all.
And you know what? Today, just the opposite is true. When you see people trying to do things, when they get baptized, say, what would it hurt to be baptized? Because you're denying the finished work of Calvary.
Right.
You're making the cross of Christ of none effect. You understand? By your baptism, what you're denying is the finished work of Calvary.
Right.
Say, well, what would that hurt? Well, they only kept back a little bit of the money. They gave 99% of it. They just kept back part. What would that hurt? You know what it hurt? He says, see the men here? They're going to carry you out. Boom, he died in judgment. Wife comes back, doesn't know anything about it. So where's my husband? Well, hey, the guys that just carried your husband out dead, they're going to carry you up. Boom, gave up the ghost and died. And let me tell you what, guys, the same is true of grace.
That's right.
That's why he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. What is it that you're really... Come on, let's come to Jesus' meeting right here, okay? What is it that you are really trusting for your salvation? What is it? Was it that you joined the church at some age? Is it because you said some sinner's prayer? What is it that causes you to have the belief? You know, if someone came to me and said, well, listen, preacher, it's because I said some sinner's prayer. I said, well, you're still lost. He said, but I said the sinner's prayer. They told me to do it. I believe I was saved. No way. Because you think, remember, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you boast about praying?
Amen.
Say, well, I walked the aisle for Jesus. That isn't going to get it there. By their works, they're denying Him. By their works, they're denying Him. They're taking the grace of God and the finished work of Calvary and saying, that's not enough.
Right.
It isn't enough. What is it? If we went down there, Josh, what are you trusting, Wayne? What are you trusting, Mary? Come on, Robert, what are you trusting? What is it that you are trusting? Are you trusting someday because you joined the church? Are you trusting someday because you walked the aisle? Someday because you changed your mind? Listen, on the 24th of August, I chunked all that. And you know what I did? I trusted what Christ did. If what He did at that cross was not good enough for me, I'll just go to hell. Listen to me. I'm putting it all on there. If what He did 2,000 years ago, on the 24th of August, I said, to hell with everything that I've put my confidence in. To hell with it. I am trusting my Savior only. And if that is not good enough, just drop me off into hell. And you know what? I would deserve to go. And on that moment, on that day,
right,
salvation came to me.
Amen.
But let me tell you, before I got saved, listen to me very carefully. The 2 hours before, I was the deal maker with God.
That's right.
God, if I'm lost, save me. God, I'll be a better witness if you'll save me. No way. Are you listening to me? No making deals with God.
Right.
I was denying Him. And so what He wants out of your salvation is all the glory. That's what He wants. He wants you to go around telling people that it's 100% Him and zero on your account.
Amen. Amen.
So would water baptism be considered works?
Yes.
100%.
And so people confidence in these things, and they're wondering why we don't believe they're grace believers. You know, the Bible said it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes out. Say, well, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? I've had people, I'm telling you, 99.9% of the people, if you ask them this question, will say, I hope I go to heaven. You say, okay, why? They say, because I've been good, or that I'm trying to do something, or better than most. I've been a church member all my life. I was baptized for Jesus back when I was 14. I joined the church when I was 12. Yeah, but when were you actually lost before the Lord? And like Paul, your apostle, counted all that he had had as dung. When was that? When was that day? And you know what? Every one of you, either right now, every one of you either know that you have that day or you don't. There isn't a single person in this room, listen to me, and God knows. God knows 100%. He knows if you're buffaloing. He knew that Ananias kept back part of the money. He knows if you're holding on to something in your heart right now. He's 100% knows. What is it that you're holding on to? Want you right now, for the very first time in your life, right now, no joke, nope, want you let go of that. Whatever you've been hanging on, say, I don't care, I'm letting go of it right now. Something in your heart that you had, listen to me very carefully, that you've been hanging on to and you thought, well, maybe it has something to do with my salvation. Why don't you right now just let go? Just let go. I'm going to give you an illustration here in a minute. You just got to let go. And you know what? If you would let go right now, God would save you. And the reason God won't save you is you won't let go. You're hanging on with whatever you're hanging on to commitment-wise. You've hung on, whether it's you've been trying to be a good girl, or whether you've tried to do this, or I've tried to give money, or I've tried to be a good church member, whatever that's hanging, you've got to let go. And count it but done. There was an illustration by a great orator of the Word of God, Spurgeon. And he described salvation like this. There's a rope. And that rope is the length of your life. And everybody in this room has that rope. Some may be shorter. Some may be longer, but you've got a rope. And on that rope, as long as you cling to that rope, every single person that's been on that rope has died on these 500 feet. You fall onto these jaggedy rocks down here, and you are going to die. You all with me? Everybody that's ever been on the rope has died. The wages of sin is death. So the angel of the Lord comes by and says, look, have you noticed you started up here in life and you were hanging on and now you're slidden down and you're not here anymore and you're heading toward the end of this rope. And the angel of the Lord said, you know what? You are going to finally get to the end of it and there isn't anything you can do. You're going to let go and you're going to die. But he said, look, if you will trust me and let go of the rope, I will save you. And the reason we don't let go of the rope is because our baptisms are there, our church memberships are there, our tithing is there, all of our commitment levels are there, our marriages are there, and we're hanging on. And every now and then we do a little bit of working out, so we're trying to climb back up the rope a little bit, but we're just constantly sliding down. And it doesn't matter how much you work, eventually you're going to get to the end of the rope. So the angel of the Lord said, look, you need to let go. But you say to the angel of the Lord, but if I let go, I'm going to die. He says, if you don't let go, you're going to have to eventually let go and die anyway. Why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust me right now? So the guy, like many of us, do this. Got a good close-up here? I can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Unbelief. But what I'm asking you to do is, everybody take a deep breath in here. I want you to know that God knows your heart right now, right here. You that are still with us on the internet, listen. God knows your heart right now, right here. You can buffalo us. You can fake me out. No big deal. You understand? But God knows your heart. And what I'm asking you to do is let go. So what I want you to do, you can do it right now with me. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. Because there isn't anything else that will save you. You can keep trying to keep the commandments, and nobody's ever made it. And try to be good, there's none good, no, not one. You can say, oh, I said the sinner's prayer. I prayed a prayer. No. When did you let go of the rope? And you know right now, God knows if you let go. God knows. You can fake it and end up in hell. Why would you do that? He loved you so much that He gave Himself for you. Why would you fake it out? Had a guy, 35 years in the grace movement, sat right over where Mary was, stand up one Sunday and said, I've been faking it for 35 years. What happened if the rapture had come? What happens if you go home tonight and while you're sleeping, you don't even know? And while you're sitting there sleeping and you're just quiet on your bed, all of a sudden you have this weird, creepy feeling. Everybody you know at this church is gone but you. I bet faking would be really cool then, wouldn't it? Show up Sunday and you're the only one here and the doors are locked. You were faking it. Trying to be Joe Christian. You came to church. You helped with the air conditioning. You helped with this. You helped do that. But you're 100% lost. But you can be 100% saved for what He did. Everything that could be possibly done for your salvation has already been accomplished. I was a lost believer. See, I believed in Jesus Christ before I got saved. But I was clinging to the rope. You're probably clinging to the rope too, aren't you? You know what I would like to know? Is if we had everybody stand up, what they would testify to. You know what? God would know if you're lying. Sure. Just like Ananias. Your unbelief would come out your mouth. Why don't you come clean today? Why don't you just come clean today? You know, I used to sit there where you were sitting. And while I was sitting there, my palms would sweat up because I knew I was a liar. My hands became sweaty. My heart would race inside my chest, and I would try to sit there while Brother Moore preached to me and act like I wasn't lost. I know all about it. You don't have to go out of that door lost today. Everything, every single thing could be done for your salvation. It's already done. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go anywhere. It's already been accomplished. All you have to do is believe. I wrote this song back 25 years ago, right after I got saved. Here's how it goes. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. He totally paid the price, isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is receive the finished work of Calvary. He totally paid the price, isn't he? Gracious and nice. But all you got to do is believe. My kids thought that was a hymn. But I knew what it was to receive the grace of God.
Amen.
Everybody that's saved in here knows what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm done.